A growing region, expanding crime.
Got to really go after them, target them through intelligence-based policing, through all the intelligence that we gather, and we got to get them out of here and eradicate them before they set their roots in this area.
The fight to stay ahead of criminals today in the Upper Cumberland.
Eddie Ferris, are we seeing crime change in the Upper Cumberland?
Yes, it is changing, Larry, and a couple reasons. One is our population obviously is increasing over the last few years, but the one that we're really concerned about is the overflow and some of the crime activity and some of the people related to gangs and other groups that's coming mainly, to be honest, out of Davidson County. Rutherford County and Wilson County, both violent crime has took an upswing because of Davidson County. So, yes, we are seeing some of that.
Why?
A couple of reasons, I think. One is, quite frankly, I don't think the narrative, the policies and the things that Davidson County's doing down there fits with law and order. For the most part, as you know, police chiefs are appointed by the mayor and the city council. So that's who they work for. If they don't have the narrative of that particular group, then they don't stay police chief. So whereas the sheriff in the smaller counties, like here in Putnam, say smaller, medium-sized counties, you know, we're elected and we work directly for the people. So, you know, one instance that we could talk about is license plate readers. Just here in Putnam County alone, in the sheriff's office, we have access to 28 of those that we put in place across the county. And that's not including the other city entities here that has a few of their own, as well as some of the business here that has some. And then you look at Metro Nashville, and they, to my knowledge, has none. The oversight committee that they have formed down there for the police department don't like that narrative. They don't like those LPRs. So that is a huge tool in today's environment in solving crimes. So that's just one instance.
Brandon, is there also a move toward we're moving closer to Nashville? You know, the distance is the same, but Nashville's moving out. We're moving that way. And so for the criminal in Davidson County, it's an easier get, or at least they think it's an easier get to come to Putnam County?
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the growth on the western end of our county, Baxter's said to be one of the fastest growing cities in the state. So we're going westward and they're going eastward. So we're bound to collide at some point. I think we're starting to reach that point. And so the criminals, it's just a short drive for them. You know, that criminal element's coming here, and we're doing everything we can do to combat them as they head east.
Does a criminal think about the sophistication of the victim?
In some cases, yes.
I mean, would they might think that we're less sophisticated because we're not in Nashville?
In some cases, yes. Maybe. You know, a lot of times I think they start out with the intentions of coming out and setting up shop, for instance, maybe over by the university to sell drugs and to do the other criminal activities. And it starts out coming to visit maybe girlfriends or friends of theirs in some sort of fashion. And then they get the idea that, hey, this is a smaller community. Maybe we can take advantage of it on our criminal side. But that works against them really in our case, because we're very easily, even though we're 86,000 strong, we feel like we have probably 110,000 in the county every single day from our outlying counties, not including the interstate and the university. But when we do that, we know a lot of people. And not only that, obviously we're law enforcement. We're conversing back and forth with air law enforcement, with Wilson County and Metro Nashville's on the bad guys and some of the people that are flowing back and forth. And so in one instance, it's easy for us to identify people that don't belong here that are doing bad things.
We're talking about the changing face of crime in 2025. Brandon Taze, Eddie Ferris with us from the Putnam County Sheriff's Department. Major Brandon Taze, Sheriff Eddie Ferris are with us from the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. Brandon, take us inside what the modern gang of today is like. For many of us, it's simply a Hollywood creation, and we don't understand what we're dealing with. What does it look like?
So today, I think the gangs are becoming younger and younger. At the beginning of my career, it was probably the 20s, 30s. That was the common thing. But now you're getting teenagers, early teens, late teens. That is the common thing you see now. They're getting younger and younger. And they're getting more violent and violent at a younger age. You're seeing that in Nashville. Just look on Nashville news. It's 14, 15-year-olds committing violent crime, shootings after shootings, stealing. The car thefts are through the roof in Davidson County. So we have gotten some of that spill over here where there are 18, 19-year-olds stealing cars, breaking in cars, committing these crimes. And it's not as color-based as it used to be, like Crips would wear blue, Bloods would wear red. You don't really see that anymore. They wear all different colors. And sometimes, oddly enough, you see different gangs as they merge with each other. You may see a Vice Lord hanging around a Blood, whereas at the beginning of my career, you would never see that. So it's more about money and making money and, you know, just trying to further their agenda.
Is it less about gang-on-gang violence and more gang violence towards individuals?
I think no, because I think that's one reason they come to the Upper Cumberland is to escape the gang-on-gang violence that happens in Nashville, so it's less competitive for them here. And they can just sell drugs or do robberies or whatever they want to do in this area, whereas they have to worry about their rivals in the Nashville area.
What kind of drugs are they selling, Eddie?
So, obviously, we know some of the things that's been around for quite some time, marijuana, cocaine, the big one is meth, and obviously fentanyl, heroin is a biggie. Just about every drug these days has some type of fentanyl associated with it. We know that from all the reports, crime reports from our TBI crime lab. Methamphetamine is still probably number one drug that's submitted to the TBI crime lab now. But with that, once again, fentanyl is usually involved in that, even if it's meth. And so we do know that the repercussions and the seriousness of fentanyl and what it costs or what it's doing around the country. I will say that since we've had some change at the border, that our overdose rates here, even here in Putnam County and around the state, have went down some. So we hope that continues. I don't want to give everybody the false sense of notion that just because the border is now somewhat secure, that fentanyl not coming in, because it still's coming in, but probably not as much.
Are they aware at all of? I hate to use this word, but the quality of the drugs that they're selling, or do they care?
No, they could care less. Yeah. They don't care less about the quality. It's just about the money and the moving. And I'll go back to one of the questions you asked earlier, and Major answered it about the juveniles. But I think it was 2 or maybe 3 years ago, juveniles committed more homicides in Metro Davidson, Nashville than the adults did. Now, they did that because of gang association and because they were under the direction of some adults that didn't want that on their record, of course, and didn't want to face the facts when it come time to get caught and prosecuted. But yeah, it's a real problem.
Brandon, do those that become associated with the gangs, for example, buying drugs, let's say, do they realize they're dealing with gang members?
I think so. And a lot of times these kids are just looking for somebody to associate with, trying to belong to some group, and it just so happens to be the wrong group that they're trying to tie themselves to. So they look at the older, more established people in those gangs selling those drugs. So they see the money and whatever things they buy with the money, and they want that. So, yeah, I think they certainly know they're selling drugs and they're doing it for that purpose.
Eddie, do you see any evidence that local young people are getting involved in gangs because they're seeing this come into our community?
I don't know that we can say that. We're not seeing any of that right now. Most of what we're talking about and we mentioned is coming from our outside folks. I do want to mention that earlier, you know, we were talking about this, you know, the week of the April the 11th just passed us, but that was the week we had the shooting over at Walmart. Both of those were gang members. That same a day or two later, we had the missing of the young adult girl lady. We put that out to try to help find her. Metro Nashville had found her on the side of the road in Hermitage the day before, unidentified, with shot in the back of the head by a gang member. And then, as we know, later the gang member in another part of the state got in a car chase and some other criminal activity, ended up killing himself. But those are just some things that's tied. Almost a year ago, we had a trooper shooting here, sure, gang-related. You know, we're getting a lot. And here's another thing I'd like to mention, too, is when our detectives got with Metro detectives on the female that was from Cookeville and found in Nashville deceased, the detective told our detective that, look, we're going to help you all we can, but we've had 14 of these in the last 2 days. So I'm not sure that some of the media in the Nashville area is really telling how bad it is. Now, we know Memphis is on the top three list in the country of violent crime, but Nashville is I'm not sure it's getting reported exactly the way it should, but we have a lot going on. And earlier I knew the exact mileage, and I don't know if it's 40 or 44, but from county line to county line, it's 44. Let's just say 44 miles to Davidson County. So as you mentioned earlier, things are getting closer. It seems a lot closer than it used to be.
Sheriff Eddie Ferris, Major Brandon Taze from the Putnam County Sheriff's Department, as we talk about the changing face of crime in our community. We're focused on crime and how it is evolving as our community grows. And as a community grows, Sheriff, you expect there to be more crime, right? I mean, that's just part of it.
We do expect it. You know, I think most of the people are coming here because we don't have a high crime rate, and they like the area. Most people always research our area before they come. But having said that, just about all of us in our family at some form or another has some individuals that maybe are committing some crimes and maybe not so upstanding. So some of that comes as well.
Brandon, I'm curious because obviously this is not just a Putnam County issue. Crime doesn't really pay much attention to the county lines. But how is this going to impact White County, Overton County, Jackson County? If they're coming this way, they're not going to pay attention to where the county lines are they?
Sure, absolutely. We see that overflow now, especially in the drug trade. It, like you said, it doesn't know county lines. So one thing that we do is we put a lot of different deputies and detectives on task forces. So those task forces allow us to go across those county lines to target the criminal element that's flooding our community. And you would see that tactic before. They would go just inside White County. Everybody in Putnam County would go there to buy the drugs. So now with having all these detectives on task forces, we can cross those county lines and go get the source. And we do that on a frequent basis.
Sheriff, do they look for, you know, let's just say it would be better, it would seem, to sell drugs, you know, off Highway 111 between White and Putnam County than it would be on the Tech campus. I mean, just so, makes more sense.
So, you know, the life I lived before I became sheriff, we did that for a number of years, and there's really no rhyme or reason, even back then. The opportunity, and depending on who you're dealing with and who's selling the drugs and who's buying the drugs, and a lot of times the amount comes into play, and the time of day and the traffic and so on and so forth. So everyone, when I say everyone, I'm talking about the people that are the bad actors that are selling this drug. They all have a sort of a different mindset on their theory of not getting caught. So as police and law enforcement, we just have to, you know, adapt to that.
For the average person, Sheriff Ferris, is car theft the area that they have the best chance to come in contact with gang members?
So cartel certainly plays a part. The reason we mentioned cartel earlier is because it had a direct correlation with firearms theft in Nashville. Especially they would get the juveniles to steal cars and firearms for the adults and keep them possibly a lot of times at one stash house or one location until it was time to, you know, do battle with another group or go commit a crime or whatever the case may be. And so that's really where the car theft comes into play, is when it's associated with firearms. Because a lot of people, as you know, a lot of Second Amendment people, we've got handgun carry permits. You can carry a gun in Tennessee now. If you're not a felon without a handgun permit, your car is your castle, just like your house now. They made that clear, so anyone can carry a firearm in a car. And so the bad actors know that as well. So a lot of times when they're stealing a vehicle, they're taking a real good opportunity and a chance on hoping that there'll be a firearm within that in that vehicle.
So obviously, Brandon, you can come in contact with crime anywhere. The Walmart incident proves that. But where is the average person most likely to see gang activity or come in contact, if they're not obviously a drug user?
You know, that's hard to say. That could be anywhere. That could be a gas station. That could be Walmart. Who would have thought at the Cookeville Walmart you could stand the chance of being a victim of such a violent crime? But unfortunately, that's the world we live in today. So anywhere. I can't. It'd be hard to name anywhere.
I guess the question comes from the fact that, again, the Hollywood picture of gangs is that, you know, they're wearing leather jackets and they're always visible and you know what's going on. But is that really the truth of how it works?
That is really not what's going on today. It's, in fact, some of them really don't even look like gang members. Some do. Some of that's changed, but some don't even look like gang members, but that's who they are.
Hmm. How do we combat it?
Well, I think we keep looking forward. We keep our vigilant on LPRs. I think communication, license plate readers, as we mentioned earlier, our communication between our law enforcement locally here, state and federal, and our partners locally in the other counties, I think we keep that line of communication going constantly, which we try to do. And then most every agency has a list of folks who have either been in trouble or who are doing bad things, but maybe just have not got caught yet. So we're all sharing that information. So we know who's traveling around, obviously, at times and doing that. And we don't even have to talk about, wiretaps and trackers and some of that kind of stuff that once we get in a certain place in an investigation, that certainly helps us keep up with some of those folks. And so when you identify one and can help know what one of the gang members are doing, then you certainly have a group doing some of the same things. And so,
and our conversation, Brandon, is not meant to alarm people. It's just meant to educate. So what's your message to the average citizen?
Just be vigilant. If you see something that doesn't look right, yeah, probably it's probably not right. It's probably notify us, let us know. I'd say talk to your kids. Let them know that there are people in that world, and just make sure that they know that that's not the right path, that there's other things. And I think keep your kids involved in other activities so they don't go to the gangs for their safety net. And, you know, the kids want a sense of belonging, and so those kids that go to those gangs, that's what they're after. So give your kids a different avenue to go to, and just be vigilant.
Obviously, every parent makes their decision, Eddie, but is it in your mind good to talk about the fact that another factor in drug use is that you are probably involving yourself in gangs?
Absolutely. That'll certainly lead down that road. If you deal with the wrong person and end up getting threats and some of those things. But all these things that we're talking about is a factor, right? I mean, we have to be vigilant. For us, we're spending a big portion of our time reacting to crime here in the area and here in Putnam County. But we also spend another big portion of our time always trying to forecast and look ahead and look at trends and look what's going on in the county next to us, the bigger county, Wilson, and then Davidson. And so we're always trying to track those things as well as we mentioned, keeping up with some of the folks. There's no way to keep up with all of them, but we keep up with some of those and just be vigilant on what we're doing and keep staying abreast of the latest technical things that we can use to help our investigation and the tools that we can get to put in our bag to do that.
That's an interesting point, because Wilson County is more like Putnam County than, say, Rutherford or Williamson County, just in terms of the demographics. So do you spend a lot of time talking to the folks in Wilson County?
We do. We spend a lot of time solving crimes with each other, you know, here and there, and people involved in both places. So absolutely. And we have, I don't have to say this, but, you know, that all the trainings that we do, and some of that is with all the agencies at times, and certainly with the sheriffs and some of the administrative people. So we're always trying to share information and keep up with the latest trends and some of the latest things that's going on.
Our conversation continues with Eddie Ferris and Brandon Tays from the Putnam County Sheriff's Department. I want to spend a couple of minutes on license plate readers as we talk about the changing face of crime. Major Brandon Tays, Sheriff Eddie Ferris from the Putnam County Sheriff's Department. And this came up in a Cookeville City Council meeting several months ago about these readers. And the worry, I guess, is that you're trying to catch speeders and, you know, you're doing those kinds of tracking. What do you actually use these plate readers for?
So we're using them basically to solve crimes or to look for certain individuals who have already committed crimes. I don't know of any, let me say this first, I don't know of any agency in the country that's been in trouble or have gotten in trouble for abusing license plate readers. There's really no way to do that. The way these things work is they read the plate and they also take a picture. Now, if we have input information in that prior to that certain vehicle going by, then we get notified immediately when that happens. And so...
So, in other words, if you are looking for this specific license plate, you would get a notification?
We would input that information into the license plate readers. And let me say this, too, so everybody understands. These license plate readers talk to each other. And what I mean by that, and the agency share all that information. So not only do we share the information amongst the local law enforcement here, but across the state, and then some parts of the country, we're sharing information. So if they've got a bank robber and a vehicle and a plate, they can input that. And if it shows up in Putnam County, Tennessee, then it will go off and notify not just us, but everyone along the way, and so we can react to that. So that's a big plus. The other part of that is we may not know a crime's been committed till 2 days later. You may be on vacation and come home and your house has been burglarized. And so if your neighbor says, well, I seen a white car over there, but I just didn't know. So we can go back and review the license plate readers that's in your vicinity and see if we can find a white car, work on the time frame, and then work our way back and usually end up developing suspects and hopefully at the end of the investigation make arrests. So they are hugely a big asset and a big tool for law enforcement.
Brandon, in your role of investigation, can you share some examples of how you've used them?
Well, recently we had some Bloods out of the Nashville area, Blood gang members. They came to the Putnam County area on the west end of the county, and they burglarized a substantial amount of vehicles. And they were armed, walking around with guns. They also stole a car from a residence there. So solving that case, the license plate readers were instrumental. And they were they helped us, even in the Nashville area, like the sheriff said, where we share that information with other agencies. The vehicle they stole, we were able to locate that in Nashville, on the west end of Nashville. And then from that, we're able to identify suspects and ultimately made an arrest, multiple arrests on that case.
They were instrumental, were they not, in the trooper shooting that took place on the interstate?
They certainly was, yes, sir.
And how did you use them?
Well, what that did was put them off the exit and put them back on the interstate. We got them coming off and then back on the interstate, knowing what direction to travel. So it was certainly instrumental in that. And let me say this. I mean, I know what some of the people are trying to say, but, you know, when we have 28, right, and we're sharing and our dispatchers really are the ones who works this program for us. So they're answering all the calls, but no one has the capability and no one is sitting there looking at a particular license plate reader, knowing that Larry Stone is going to lunch in 10 minutes, and who's he taking to lunch today? That's almost impossible for us to do. They don't work like that. So
I didn't know you were interested in that.
That's a myth. That's a myth. But
is that what people are concerned about, the invasion of privacy?
I think so. And here's the thing. They're not used for any type of civil legality. Okay, it's all criminal. So no one, I don't know of anyone who's used this in any type of domestic or divorce cases or anything like that. That is not what it's not subpoenable for that. So,
and you're not just sitting around looking up license plates.
It doesn't work like that. No. Yeah. So,
Eddie Ferris, Brandon Tays with us from the Putnam County Sheriff's Department. Brandon Tays, you're in this every day. What do you want people to know about the rise in gang crime in our area?
Yeah, I just think it's something that as the population grew and more people come to this great city and this great area of the Upper Cumberland, that we know what's going to happen. We knew that we're going to get it, but I think we're at the point now that we got to combat it. And we got to really go after them, target them through intelligence-based policing, through all the intelligence that we gather, and we got to get them out of here and eradicate them before they set their roots in this area.
Eddie, how important is each one of us to that?
All of us takes a part in that. And I'll say that I truly appreciate the citizens letting me operate and be the sitting in the sheriff's seat. But my responsibility as your sheriff here is to make sure we keep the community and the people in it as safe as we can. And so we use every tool, we use every avenue in order to do that. Once again, I'll say that a lot of times we're reacting to a lot of things that we can't forecast every day, whether it's domestics or other type of calls that were going on. But another portion of us is always we're forecasting. We're trying to look at trends. We're trying to do stuff and make sure we got the latest technology to combat that and get ahead of that before it happens. I know sometimes I get criticized for being against stuff or having a different narrative than some people that thinks something at the time might be really not significant. But if you look at things going on in the bigger cities and the things that's happened across the America, it's not hard to understand that these small things lead to bigger things. And I think people certainly like the community they live in here. In fact, I know they do. We're trying hard to keep it like we know the community should be, and we want it to be. We want it a safe environment. We want it a good place to raise our family and our kids, go to school, and we got some great schools here, and we certainly work hard to protect those schools as well. And so we just want a good community, and sometimes we have to work very hard and be smart, spend a little money sometimes. In order to be ahead of the game. And so we're trying hard to look into the crystal ball and make sure we see trends and stop that before it happens.
Because we also look into that crystal ball, and I don't think it's hard for any of us to see a community that 20 years from now is going to look very much bigger than it is right now. And that's not just Putnam County. That's the community as in the Upper Cumberland. And so you've got to be forecasting
absolutely
for how crime.
Absolutely. As you mentioned earlier, crime knows no county lines or state lines even. So we're working hard to do that. And that's why, as Major mentioned it earlier, all the task forces. And when he says that, what we mean by that is all of our federal partners, whether it's FBI or Drug Enforcement Administration or Secret Service, whoever it is, we've got to stay vigilant on making sure we've got the latest, greatest information here to make good decisions here in Putnam County in order to stay ahead of the game and keep us safe and keep our community the way we want it.
Sheriff Eddie Ferris, Major Brandon Tays from the Putnam County Sheriff's Department, thank you for educating us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.